It's an NRL round review.
All over.
Round five is done, MG, in the books, rolling along. I mean, Panthers undefeated, but the Dragons are 4-1.
Yeah, some fantastic footy over the weekend, and one of them teams who are just, I don't know, they seem to be one of the teams that just are proving all the knockers wrong, and that is the Dragons. They're going fantastic.
And there were plenty of knockers around them too. Hey, we're gonna get to the performance of the Dragons against Parramatta, but first let's go all the way back to Thursday night. The Rabbitohs defeating the Broncos. I mean, not many people would be surprised by the result. Maybe the scoreline somewhat, 35-6, the Rabbitohs getting it done. I guess the big talking point out of this game, MG, was just what an astute signing Benji Marshall was, given the absence of Cody Walker for this game and how seamlessly he slotted in.
Oh, 100%, Liam. Yeah, he was sublime. Benji had some fantastic touches, and all across the park, Dane Gagai, he basically tormented the right side of Broncos' defence. Tom Burgess ran for 250 metres. Latrell Mitchell was at his probing best. And the Broncos, again, were disappointing.
Broncos, the Rabbitohs are just going to keep ticking along doing what they do. The Broncos, though, we're seeing whispers today that Milford is going to be axed for round six. Mm. Are you seeing more out of this Broncos lineup yet? I mean, it's only, you know, Kevvy Walters is only five games into his coaching stint with this team, but...
No, we were there commentating this game on Thursday night at Stadium Australia, and before the game, myself and Gerds both said, look, Gerds even thought this could be a game that could be an upset. I said, okay, if I think the Broncos will get within 12 of the Rabbitohs, but we're both wrong. And look, Jake Turpin, their dummy half, made 60 tackles. But apart from that, really, there's nothing to write home about there. Payne Haas, he gives it 100% every time he plays, but they're on their own, unfortunately. This doesn't seem to be any cohesion. There doesn't seem to be any determination. There doesn't seem to be any want for victory. They seem to be a team without without an identity, who knows, we'll put it this way, they seem to be reading too much about themselves in a negative fashion. Instead of just getting off social media, not reading a paper, getting to training, knuckling down. But these guys look and play like they've got the weight of the world on their shoulders.
Yeah.
They have.
It's this is the Brisbane Broncos we're talking about, MG.
Yeah,
and now it's the Brisbane Broncos led by one of their favourite sons in Kevvy Walters, and yet still, you know, you're exactly right. It's hard to put words to the way they're playing and the just lack of an identity and lack of effort you're seeing.
The two games they've won in the last 12 months have both been against the Bulldogs. So nothing to write home about the way the Doggies have been going.
No, we'll get to the Doggies very shortly. Look, both teams move along, as you say, heading in very different directions, those two teams. Let's get to the Friday night game, the 6 o'clock. MG, I'm not sure how much you caught of this game, given you were preparing for the 30-year celebrations of your 91 grand final win at Panther Park. But the Warriors and the Seagulls, it was a ding-dong battle as far as the scoreline went. But, geez, there were some mistakes in this one. The Manly Seagulls finally registering a victory 13-12.
Yeah, not much. I watched it back on replay the next day, and or bits of it anyway. Jackson Saab was fantastic in his how fast he was.
Clean pair of heels.
Yeah, I think the good news coming out of it, not just the fact that DC kicked that field goal right on full time, which is a much needed field goal, one of the most important field goals he'll ever kick, because 0-5 is, well, that's almost see you later season. But the fact that they clung on. Now they're 1-4 with Tom Turbo about to come back this week. Things are looking up. There was some stuff. Josh Schuster, who I spoke about at the start of the year as a kid to watch, well, he seems to be improving. And I'd even have him at lock forward, and even interchanging with 580. He's such a big body and he's so skillful. But, yeah, there's some good things to like, and especially the fact that Manly won. And the Warriors, well, Fenua Blake, he's gone for the year, and that is a massive loss.
Yeah,
massive loss.
Huge. And I think we talked about, the concern with the Warriors with the news that they were allowed to return home and the opening up of the Trans-Tasman bubble. We were worried that the Warriors might relax a little bit. And I think they probably did. It was just a mistake-riddled game, really. But as you say, the narrative off the back of it now is the Seagulls have something of a platform to launch from. They get Tommy Turbo back, and I think I heard Benji Marshall speaking on the Sunday show just about the simply having his name on the team sheet, what it'll do for that, for the Manly team.
Unfortunately, but they were hit by the injury stick once again with Jack Kajewski, having a foot injury, I think, or a knee injury, out for the rest of the year. And Dylan Walker doing a buttock or a high hamstring. So we'll have to watch him. But, yeah, as Benji said, having the name Tommy Trbojevic at number one in your team is very confidence building.
Friday night, the second game, Panthers, Raiders. You were, You were celebrated, as you, so you should have been, you and all your teammates, from the 1991 grand final win over the Raiders. And even though the Raiders got out to the better start, the current Raiders got out to the better start on Friday night, the Penny Panthers, they just keep doing what they do. 30-10 victory.
Yeah, very methodical, isn't it? Their dissection of teams. And I will say that in the 20th minute when Nicol Klokstad was taken from the field, that was a turning point. He's their one of their best attackers, and to have him from taken from the field was massive for them. And having to put Elliot Whitehead at right centre and then Rapana, so it was a big, everything got mixed up around it. So that derailed them somewhat. But Penrith were fantastic. They just keep on keeping on. What I love about what Penrith are doing at the moment is that they're sharing the Man of the Match awards around each week. You know, one week it's Nathan Cleary, and then it's Isaiah Yeo, then it's James Fisher-Harris, and I think on Friday night it was Jerome Luai. I think he just, watching the game live, I don't know what you saw watching it at home, but he seems to be everywhere, you know, and that rolling ball of thunder, whose name is Brian Totlaw, my goodness, another 250 metres of charging performance in these runs. And so, yeah, look, they're looking great, Penrith. They really are. And I know that last year they got beaten at the big hurdle, and they had 17 wins in a row and all that stuff. But in the back of their mind always is going to be that feeling they had at the grand final watching the Melbourne Storm pick that trophy up. Trust me, I've been there. I've done it.
Mm.
And if it doesn't hurt, you shouldn't be playing footy.
Quickly, a couple of things you mentioned there, the evenness of the team. Matt Burton, another strong performance in the centres. We only half talked about the idea of him backflipping last week.
Mm.
But if things keep trending the way they are, might be hard to leave this Penrith outfit. The other thing, Nathan Cleary, I believe, did an interview post-match, and he's got him penciled in at 5'8 for the Blues this series, this season. Jerome Luai.
Oh, of course.
He doesn't see how Freddie doesn't pick him.
Well, on form, if there was a team picked tomorrow for a game next Wednesday, Jerome Luai is your 5'8. And if that was a selection trial between him and Jack White, well, he won hands down. The other thing going in Cody Walker's favour is that he's combination with the incumbent hooker, which is Damien Cook.
And likely some outside backs as well.
But Isaiah Yeo is going to be the lock forward, you would imagine.
If Panthers are undefeated by the time game one rolls around, it's going to be very hard for Freddie to ignore that halves combination. Plain and simple. Oh,
of course, and I think Freddie knows it.
Yeah. All right, Saturday afternoon, and I mean, this was the performance of the round, very clearly, one D for feeder. When the Titans got this bloke, this is the sort of stuff that fans were expecting. 42-16. Now, I know they came up against an undermanned Newcastle Knights outfit that without their Mitchell Pearce and Tex Hoy and a few others, but 42-16, Dave Fifita did what he wanted.
He did, and it was his first try was kind of ominous. He touched the ball from 10 metres out and ran straight at Connor Watson and said, "There you go." That's like that's what it's like to play under 15s against under 9s. It was that bully. It was the bully at school where, you know, you got the year 10 player playing against the year 7 kid. So he's just so big and strong, man. He's the Hulk.
Mm.
And AJ Brimson was good. I thought that Wallace was good up front, you know, little tap-ons for some ball play.
Hasn't Corey Thompson been a nice little pickup for the Titans?
Oh, he's been fantastic.
When you look at the West Tigers and what they're going through at the moment, I bet Corey's very happy with himself up on the Goldie.
You know who was really good? The Peach. The Peach starting the lock forward. Geez, I think his contract's up at the end of the year, and I think that's the reason we're seeing such fantastic form from him, because
give him a one-year extension.
Just one-year
extension. Six-month extension, if you could.
But that puts the Titans 3-2 after five games, so they're still in the top eight, and they deserve to be there.
For the Knights, I mean, Adam O'Brien must be I guess he's probably disappointed and frustrated by the injury luck that they have had, because they have not had good luck. But they find themselves 2-3. The season's by no means gone, but they need to find a way to get through this period without Mitchell Pearce.
They showed very little desire in defence, and that's the worrying sign. Like the Tigers yesterday, when your defensive efforts are like that on players, it means you haven't turned up, and that's simply what happened to them. They, again, probably like the Broncos, reading the papers about injuries and woes and thinking, well, we're not supposed to win this game against, you know, Tino Fasua Mualaawi and Dave Fafita, and, you know, so let's just go out there and do our best. And that's how they played. They 42-16, that's a flogging. And Caelan Ponga's first game back, he tried hard, but his timing was out. He'll be better for the run.
Yeah. They take on the Sharks this week, MG. Friday night, 6 o'clock game. And you got two teams there that both desperately need a win for differing reasons. Saturday evening game, this was another one where on paper no one will be surprised by the result, the Storm beating the Bulldogs. And as tough as it is to say, I don't know if many people will be surprised by the scoreline either. 52-18. At least the Bulldogs scored, I guess, but that's just another absolute pantsing.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when you're at a... look, there's positive signs, the Doggies, let's...
Is there? But,
well, they scored. And you know what, Luke Thompson's back. He's Luke Thompson, the firebrand Pommy, could be just the answer to their woes at the moment. I think he at least come on and looked like he wanted to win a game, even though they're never going to. And it's very hard to when you've got a guy called Pappenhausen on the other side who's just, I've never seen a guy in so much rich vein of form. You know, he's got 7 tries. He's leading the point scoring in the competition. That's, what, 3 games in a row he scored 20 points or something.
So. I probably should have had this research done before we started this review podcast, but 9 individual try scorers. No, not one Melbourne Storm player scored a double, MG. Kafusi, Hughes, Welch, Kamikamika, Jennings, Pappenhausen, Olam, Adokar, and Nico Hines. Not a single double, 9 individual try scorers.
Yeah, that could be a first, actually. That could be a first, and as long as all these records are getting broken. And that's what would really, really please Craig Bellamy as well, after seeing that. It means they're throwing the ball around. It means that everyone's doing their job. And, yeah, look, for the Doggies, I don't know. I just don't know. They're trying their hardest. I think they're trying.
Well, are they?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you have to trust that they are.
I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt here because they just don't look like they're up to it. I don't know when the next win's going to come, to be honest.
Well, I read there was an interesting article around Steve Hansen's involvement with the club, obviously coming on board the All Blacks legend, and it made a good point. You don't change culture overnight. Okay,
no,
and this is a club that is been going through a rebuild, and it is going to take time. So it's probably fair to judge it at the end of the season at least. But, geez, the fans would want to see something a bit more than what they've been delivering of late. And next round 6, MG, they take on the Cowboys, a team who
up there.
They travel and they'll take on the Cowboys, a team who's been struggling, but they pulled their finger out over the weekend. We'll get to that game shortly. So a real opportunity for the Bulldogs to show a bit coming up. Saturday night, now Roosters Sharkies. Now, I listened back to our preview of this game, MJ. And you know what? We were.
You tipped the Sharks.
This is the difference between you and I.
Yeah.
I'm just a muppet who stands behind a microphone and throws his opinion like he knows what he's talking about. I said this is the upset of the round. I said the Sharks will win this. You said, I'm tipping the Roosters. The Sharks will be up to their eyeballs in this one to about the 65th, 70th minute.
Uh-huh.
I was watching this at home on Saturday night, and I was sitting there with my wife, and I said, hey, and it was the 60th minute, and I said, hey, Lance, tip the Sharkies in this one. I did. She's like, really? I'm like, yep, tipped them. And look at them go, flying along 18-4 or whatever the score was at that point.
Yeah, 18-4, yeah.
And I just said, and she said, oh, did you? And I said, yep. MG said the Sharks will be in it till about the 65th minute mark, but I said they will win. She went to bed.
I wish she stayed up and saw
and
the
then
carnies.
Sam Walker.
Welcome to rugby league. Oh. Welcome to first grade, Mr. Walker. Welcome.
26-18, the Roosters prevailed.
Yeah, he set up 2, he scored 1, and on the back of the young 18-year-old's talent, the wily Roosters got home. And Hargraves was fantastic again.
Oh, wasn't he?
Up front was enormous. Yeah, but young, gee, he was good. You know, young Walker looks like he's been there, done that, been back here, and he's been incarnated as another player. Mm. He seems so had so much time on his hands, and yeah, love the way he plays.
I text my wife. I've just checked my phone. I text her at 9:30 saying Roosters won. MG was spot on. She wrote back, "Well, I guess he does know a thing or two about the game." So well done to you. This Roosters side. Injuries come
away.
And injuries go.
They won't go away. They're sitting in second spot. They've won four, lost one. Their for and against is good. They just won't go away. They're a team. I'm probably almost sorry for downing them. I don't think they'll win the comp. I just don't think they'll win the comp. I think, but as long as Tedesco stays healthy and. You know, you got blokes like up front, like Hargraves doing what he does. Victor Radley's back and fantastic, and young Walker, man, he's legit. I love watching him play.
And you just know that Trent Robinson will be already accounting for the ups and downs that Sam Walker will have as this young kid. He's not going to expect that elite level of performance for him throughout the season. He will be accounting and planning for the peaks and troughs and how to best protect against those. Brett Morris has 11 tries in 5 games.
Freakish. Absolutely freakish.
What's going on? Can Irvine look out?
Well, how many of the Bulldogs scored all year?
Oh, that's a very good question. Probably not as many as Brett Morris.
Yeah, not as many.
The Roosters.
I don't think many teams would have scored 11 tries in their especially the bottom teams. Wow.
Yeah. The Roosters will take on. How good's this game, MG?
Oh, this is the game.
Friday night, round 6, Storm Roosters at Amy Park in Melbourne. Going to be an absolute corker.
I can't wait for that.
Two more games to get through. Round 5 review podcast. West Tigers, Cowboys. Sunny day, Leichhardt, perfect conditions. Couldn't have asked for more. The tributes to Tommy Radonikis, the Western Suburbs icon. They retired the number 7 for the game. And then they turned out that first half performance.
Yeah, given the circumstances, Tommy tribute, Leichhardt Oval, their opponents who were coming last. They lost their marquee player before the game. He was supposed to come back, Tal Malolo, and that, in my opinion, is the worst 40 minutes by any team this year. They were just cutting through them like a hot knife through butter, and that was the Cowboys. Like it was simple watching the game at home. I'm sitting there watching it, and it was simple. The Cowboys were playing like they wanted to win. And they were playing with a lot more enthusiasm. They were playing with a smile on their face. And they were scoring tries because they were trying things. Where the Tigers were mundane. They were pedestrian. They were slow. It was yuck. And look, it's not the coach. It's not the coach. That's not McGuire. You know.
Not a poor game plan.
That's not a game because it's poor. That's poor application. So what you do as a coach, you get kids and men in there who want to. Apply themselves the way that you want to coach them. And the ones that don't want to be there, well, you've got to get rid of them because you're going to go down with a sinking ship sooner or later if you don't get rid of the players that are causing this drama.
Yeah. Yeah. Disappointing if you're a West Tigers fan. I guess for the Cowboys and Todd Payton.
Well done. Bravo.
Exactly. That's what you asked for last week, MJ. You said roll up your sleeves and have
a crack. Get yourself out of it. And they did.
And now they find themselves. They get to go home and they get to play host to a Bulldogs outfit. Todd Payton would be thinking, beautiful boys, here we go. Opportunity to win 2 on the trot. And then we're on a roll and
you know what?
There's a bit of feeling around the club again.
And both them and Manly did exactly that on the weekend. They dug deep. When they haven't the previous 3 or 4 weeks, they dug deep on this occasion and look what happened. They found some glory. It was fantastic.
And they get to stay home for round 7 as well, MG. They take on the Raiders. So maybe things and Tal Malolo's back in the side. And all of a sudden, you know, Michael Morgan, that cloud, that uncertainty. Mm. I mean, I'm sure the club would love to have kept him. But
Drinkwater was good yesterday.
But Todd Payton can now say to Scott Drinkwater, hey, Morgo's not coming back.
No, it's yours.
Yeah, do it.
That's what's yours.
All right, last game of the round. This is, you said, MG, this is one of the great games of the round. And the Eels going into this game undefeated, playing host to the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Dragons 26-12. And Matt Dufty, Ryan Pappenhausen, diet Ryan Pappenhausen. I mean, he was outstanding.
Yeah, he's unlucky, young Dufty, that he's got a bloke called Tedesco, and he's got a bloke called Trebojevic, and he's got a bloke called Pappenhausen, and he's got a bloke called Latrell Mitchell all in front of him. We are so rich in depth with our fullbacks. Mm. But yeah, that look, they were great. Parramatta played their worst game of the year. They played that whole 80 minutes like they did in the first 40 minutes against Brisbane in the first game, and they were down 18-0 at half time. They were never coming back. Dufty was great. I thought Jack Bird was that he played his best game of the year. And again, the halves from the halves are going to come under the spotlight because the creativity of Parramatta just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And saying that, I know they've got to go forward to get any type of a springboard. So Junior Paulo and Campbell Gillard picked a bad night to have their quietest game as well. So Parramatta, they'll bounce back. They're a good team. But on the night, the success story of the season thus far is the team sitting fourth, and that's the St. George Illawarra Dragons.
I bet Josh McGuire can't wait to get down there.
Oh, he could not wait.
The Parramatta Eels, they travel to take on the Raiders this weekend. Looks like
danger game.
Probably do so without Dylan Brown as well. He looks like he's probably going to miss for that crusher tackle. So they'll have to rearrange some things there. But as you say, that Dragons outfit sitting 4-1, and for the off-season pre-season that they had, you talked about the knockers at the start of the preview.
The only way to answer them is the only way to answer critics is with your footy ability, and that's what they're doing. They're putting on a clinic every time they play. They're playing with so much enthusiasm in the Dragons. I love it.
25,000 at that game, MG. There was 21,000 at the Panthers game on Friday night. How good is it to have the crowds back at the footy?
Oh, wow, it's awesome. I love it. It makes it compared to what we were 12 months ago. It's a touch wood type thing. Let's keep it going.
All right, there you go. The round five review podcast in the bank. And if you've learned anything from this, it's ignore what I say in the preview podcast and pay attention to what MG says.